Hello and welcome to another video podcast from Lighthouse. My name is Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it is my pleasure to take you through the Word and find some encouragement for today. Last week, we kind of blazed through Christ's ascension and touched just a little bit on his exaltation. So this week, we're going to take a look at Christ in the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. Now, I can already hear you. Pastor Jeff, 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. I get you. Fair enough. But we'll start there, and then we'll head back. So 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so we see this rock in the Old Testament in the account of Exodus in Exodus 17, 1 through 6. And so this is where we'll see what Paul was talking about. In Exodus 17, 1 through 6. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and encamped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses, saying, Give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So here we have this story of the Exodus wanderings. They come to a place where they have no water. Rather than seeking the Lord, they complain to Moses. And the Lord provides. So we see in 1 Samuel 2:2, Hannah records this in her prayer. When, so she was seeking the Lord for her child. Anyway, so she is in this declaring what the Israelites knew regarding this moment. So she says, There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no one, there is no rock like our God. And so equating this rock at Rephidim or Horeb with the Lord was Israel's way of thinking about this. They knew that it was not Moses who provided the water here at Horeb, but they knew that it was the Lord. And this was the water that they needed to survive, right, in the wilderness. It said that they were gonna perish. They were thirsty. And so the other thing to note here is the water from this rock was so abundant that it created a new river, at least temporarily. So in Psalm 78:16 records, He also brought streams out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. And in Psalm 105:41, He opened the rock and water gushed out, and it ran into the dry places like a river. So we're not talking like a little trickle of water that kind of puddled up and then dried away, you know, in the heat of the day. It's not like some insufficient or limited amount either, right? This is an abundance that they experienced, right? So what we're talking about here is give or take a million people, depending on the estimates, maybe more, and all of their combined livestock that were in the wilderness here thirsting. So their situation was dire. It wasn't like they needed a little bit of water. But as we said before, instead of seeking God or trusting in God's provision, they complained. And actually here it says they argued as our text tells us, with Moses. So they were arguing with Moses. And again, the part that I, it's an ironic smile when they say, did you bring us out here from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst, right? So questioning Moses' motives to, you know, rather than to liberate them and bring them salvation, bring them out there to the desert and die. So they weren't the most grateful people, but we still see God's provision even in their sin, right? And so the amount of water that we're talking about here is like, don't think of standing in line waiting for someone to dip into a bucket with a dipper and give you a little bit, right? Think more like Shoshone Falls at full flow. And if you haven't experienced that, you know, look it up online or come and visit during that time of year, and you'll see it's so powerful, even on video, but more so in person, just the amount of water. And that must have been what it was like for the Israelites to have this great thirst and have it provided for them in such abundance. And so that's our God. He provides supernaturally. So when Paul talks of the spiritual drink in our 1 Corinthians passage, he's referring to something supernatural, something that only God could do. Only God could provide that amount of water in the desert at that time. And so we see God's provision for humanity, right? And we see Jesus as this living water most clearly when we get to the story of the Samaritan woman, when Jesus seeks out the Samaritan woman, because we have to know that this wasn't some chance encounter that he just happened by there. He was seeking out the Samaritan woman at the well. And so we see this recorded for us in John's Gospel in chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. And we'll get there and read that. And great story, Jesus at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Where there indeed, right? That's the question. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." And so here we have our comparison, right? Jesus as that living water, providing the living water that springs up to eternal water. And so from the Old Testament to the New, we see that God gives his mercies to people even in their rebellion and sin. We see that God's provision for mankind, for our eternal provision, right, is namely in Christ, who was struck on our behalf for our sins, so that we may be refreshed and renewed and provided with redemption, given grace and eternal blessings through the supernatural work of Jesus. And so hopefully that was encouraging for you today, and have a great rest of your week. Bless you.